You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Minnesota Timberwolves fan site and the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your next order. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy start of the work week, I guess. Hopefully you had a great weekend, enjoyed some NBA basketball. There was plenty of good basketball over the weekend, with it returning on Saturday, second round getting underway, the tail end of the first round. So lots of fun basketball to watch. Today on the show, I want to talk a little bit about Gerson Rosas had an appearance on the Tom Haberstroh podcast over at NBC Sports. So I want to talk about some of the quotes that got pulled out of that and aggregated. I have not listened to the entire podcast yet, so I'm going to see if there's anything else to discuss here later in the week that we need to highlight. But there were some comments that were aggregated into different articles online, so I wanted to pull those out and talk about those quotes and see, you know, if there's anything to glean from that. I also want to talk about there's a bunch of these fake trades for the number one pick. We've talked about plenty of them here on the show, and some of them aren't worth it, and I'm going to tell it like it is if I think, like, hey, this isn't realistic. But there was another one of those posts with five possibilities for the number one pick on Bleacher Report, and I think we can kind of rank those from feasible, most feasible to least feasible, because I think there's a couple that aren't too bad that I hadn't seen previously. So we'll talk through that as well, and that'll be today's show. First off the top, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves. That's at LockedOnTWolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So Gerson Rosas appeared on Tom Haberstroh's podcast, which is called The Haber Show. Of course, Tom Haberstroh over at NBC Sports. He's their NBA insider. And a lot of the discussion apparently in this podcast was about the draft class. People see this as a relatively weak class. There isn't a number one. There's not a Zion. There's not an Anthony Davis, a consensus number one pick, a John Wall, even a Blake Griffin, you know, stuff, guys like that. And Rosas, of course, has to defend the value of the number one pick. And so I think he did a fairly good job. His quote when he was asked about the draft class's, I guess, viability or how good the draft class will end up being. Rosas's quote was, "I'm a big believer that there's talent in every draft, but you can't grade a draft until at least 3 or 4 years out. That's what makes our job so complicated. It's not just about picking the right player. It's about the player being picked into the right system, health, opportunity, and the execution of the maximization of that talent. The reality is we don't know. Everybody has a quick narrative on certain drafts, and even this one in particular," end quote. Interesting. He also later on in the pod, he admits that some people look at this as the 2013 draft class and makes a really interesting point. He basically says, "Hey, everybody talks about this being the Anthony Bennett draft," which of course, I've made that comment a couple of times on this podcast where you don't want to there's not a consensus one. So you surprise everybody. You kind of reach for somebody that everyone's got ranked 5 to 10 picks lower or whatever. And then he ends up being a bust, which is what happened to Bennett in 2013. Rosas points out the reality is Giannis was taken in that draft. He was taken number 15. Of course, the Wolves passed on him twice. They traded back. They drafted Trey Burke and traded that pick back to get Gorgui Dieng and Shabazz Muhammad. Muhammad, I think, was the 13th pick, and Giannis went 15. And nobody really had the guts to take Giannis until it got to Milwaukee at 15. And of course, now he's the defensive player of the year, the reigning MVP. And I mean, Rudy Gobert was late in that first round as well. So while the top 3, 4, 5, 6, really top 10 wasn't great, and that's putting it kindly, in the 2013 draft, there was value later in the draft. And so there's so many factors. And yes, part of that's exec speak. It's you know, what you need to say publicly. You have to play up the value of the draft. I mean, he's holding what should be the hottest commodity and the number one pick, and he's got to say the right things. But he's not wrong. And then the flip side of this is arguing that the draft is a crapshoot, which of course is you know, ignoring all of these other factors, because some of them you can control to an extent. No, you can't tell in advance this player is going to be healthier than that player, because otherwise that would make this much more of a science than anything else. But you can also mitigate the risk. You can figure out what the most likely scenario is. You could use some of your, you know, whatever, if it's a minutes load prior to coming to the NBA, or if it's the way that somebody's mechanics are, you think makes them more or less susceptible to injury. Those types of things are things that are happening in today's, and not just the NBA, but professional sports in general. So if you can flag a guy as, yeah, you know, let's factor this in, he might be a little more likely to get hurt. It doesn't mean the guy you're comparing him against isn't going to get hurt. It just means there might be less of a chance based on their style of play or their build, their frame, et cetera. So there's some of these different risk reward type things that you have to factor into the equation. And it could be a tiebreaker. It could be just another thing to consider. Just like pre-draft interviews. I mean, I'm not saying that David Kahn drafted Johnny Flynn solely because of his smile and his handshake in his pre-draft interview, but that certainly played into it. And it should, probably not to the extent that it did for David Kahn in the Timberwolves front office at that time. 11 years ago or whatever that was. So all these things kind of factor into the pre-draft evaluation, and Rosas does a good job of pointing that out. System, health, opportunity, execution, and maximization of that talent. Yeah, everybody knew that Giannis was likely going to have the raw athletic talent and the build and the frame, but at the time, nobody was convinced given the competition he was playing against overseas. You know, growing up not playing competitive high school basketball, for instance, nobody knew what he was really going to turn into. They said, yeah, his size and athleticism, but is he going to be able to shoot? Well, he still isn't a great shooter, but he's really, really good. He's probably the best player in the league. He's a top two or three player at worst, and he's still entering his prime. So there were 14 teams that passed on him, 13, I guess, because the Wolves did twice, and maybe there were other teams that passed on him more than once. And so Rosas accurately identifies that there are all these different factors that play into things. And just because they have the number one pick, can't discount the 17. You can't discount the 33 that they have in the draft. And there's so many other things that need to be considered. So just a really interesting perspective. Again, go listen to that whole show. I still need to finish listening to it, and then I'll pass along any other pertinent comments on this pod, but please listen to it. Rosas doing a good job of, you know, staying out in the media enough, but also he's got to hold his cards close to the vest a little bit here as he, I'm sure, shops around offers for the number one pick. All right, next, I want to get into some of these fake trades that are over on Bleacher Report. Again, there's a couple that I think are pretty reasonable and not far-fetched at all. So that's what I would like to do coming up next. All right, it is still fake trade season because, I mean, what else are we going to do when the Timberwolves don't play a competitive game for 8 or 9 months or whatever this is going to end up being? I want to start, there's an article on Bleacher Report. Actually, both of these articles are by Zach Buckley at Bleacher Report, and both were published last week. One was published more recently, and this is entitled Surprising Offseason Trades for NBA Lottery Teams, and they're not all Timberwolves trades. I wanted to point out how ridiculous a couple of these are, and no offense to Zach, because we're going to get to his other article soon, which actually had some pretty reasonable ideas. But in this one, the first trade is basically just to get the Warriors cap space. And it would be the Warriors trading for James Johnson and getting a, as he puts it, just a 2020 second round pick in exchange for the Wolves would get back a somehow protected, like middle of a second round protected, heavily protected second round pick in 2022. And the argument here for the Wolves is simply that they won't want to pay his $60 million player option next year with the team up for sale. They are, he doesn't even mention this, but they are into the luxury tax slightly. And this would get them out from that. And for the Warriors, they have a trade exception to that they could accept James Johnson into because of the Andre Iguodala trade from last year. And so basically then they could immediately waive James Johnson and have his, have the flexibility, or excuse me, not waive James Johnson, but use James Johnson in an additional deal and then pick up a second rounder to make a trade for, you know, some other NBA. I mean, the guys he mentions are Aaron Gordon and Miles Turner, or I don't know that it's those guys, but somebody else to add to their existing roster. And I mean, I don't know. I don't see this from the Wolves' perspective. I mean, yes, it'd be nice to get out of the tax and it'd be nice to create a little bit of space. The $60 million player option is a viable trade asset for the Timberwolves. And I don't think that they're just in straight, let's get out from under this to save a few bucks mode, even though they are for sale. Plus giving up a second round pick. And he's got it listed as a 2020 second rounder. We already know that's the number 33 pick. So unless he means 2021, why would they give up a good pick, the 33rd pick in the draft, and an expiring contract to essentially get back nothing, because this heavily protected pick would either be a bottom five pick in the second round in 2 years, or it would be nothing. I just don't understand why the Wolves would do this deal. They could trade Johnson in some other deal, as we'll get to in a second, that would include the number one pick and other players, and they need that contract. So I just don't know why the Wolves would do this. And I guess if I end up being wrong, then I'm wrong. I don't know. I just think that would be a waste of the contract. The other one that he mentions that I really don't like doesn't involve the Timberwolves directly, but it's a supposed trade up for the Knicks in order to get LaMelo Ball, but it involves them getting the number three pick from the Hornets. So the Hornets would get Mitchell Robinson, Reggie Bullock, and the number eight pick, and the Knicks would get the number three and Malik Monk. I don't think that's enough for the Hornets, honestly. He does mention that this wouldn't go down until draft night because it would be contingent on LaMelo Ball being available at number three. And there are some mocks where he's available at three. I would be surprised. I think just from reading between the lines and all the rumors that are out there, and also doing the research on LaMelo Ball, watching him play as a playmaker, again, his playmaking ability is likely arguably could be the only elite NBA ready level skill of any player in this draft. And besides size, besides frame and athleticism, you're talking about actual on-court skills. It's a next level ability. And I'd be surprised if he lasted until three. I think either somebody trades up to one or two to get him, or the Wolves or the Warriors take him at one or two, just because of those skills. And no, I don't think he's a great fit for the Warriors, and I understand that, but they could take him and trade him. I just would be really surprised to see him fall to three. So that one was interesting as well. There's also some other proposed trades that involve Victor Oladipo, Joel Embiid, a three-team deal that involves Chris Paul, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins. Pretty interesting stuff, although I think that some of those are fairly far-fetched. The other one I want to get into is Buckley posted an article now a little over a week ago involving five potential trades for the number one pick. And some of these aren't bad. And a couple of them are, but some of them aren't. And so I wanted to kind of go through this list and talk about how realistic some of these could be. There's five of them, so we'll spend some more time on some of these. The first one I actually kind of like. It's a better version of one of the Knicks trades we talked about late last week that ESPN had proposed, which was the Wolves trading back, picking up a Knicks pick and a future pick. And I think it was the future Mavericks picks and Kevin Knox or something like that. And it just wasn't enough value. In this proposed trade, according to Zach Buckley of Bleacher Report, the Wolves would get the number three pick from the Charlotte Hornets and a top 10 protected first rounder next year in exchange for the number one pick. I don't hate that. I mean, you're only moving back two spots. You can pick up Killian Hayes. You can pick up Tyrese Haliburton. You can pick up Ball if he falls to three. Anthony Edwards if he falls to three. Basically, if Wiseman goes in the top two, you could still get Ball or Edwards at three. And you get your first round pick next year that you weren't going to get. There's a fairly decent chance the Hornets end up one of the league's worst 10 teams next year, even if they do end up with the number one pick in a trade. So it wouldn't convey till 2022. So I think the Wolves would fight for protections, maybe like top four, top five, something like that, so that it's more likely they get the pick. Because remember, the Wolves don't have their 2021 pick and they'd love to acquire one. So I think that would be it's a semi-realistic possibility. And surely the Wolves would also still look at trading the number 17, if it was a top 10 protection for next year, and then it would convey the following year as a first rounder unprotected, maybe in 2 years from Charlotte, perhaps the Wolves still trade out of 17 this year to pick up additional assets. That's always a possibility. Or they trade the 33 this year for a future first, if somebody really likes that pick in this year's draft. So that's actually not awful. And I could see that sort of a trade happening where the Wolves pick up a future first round pick to slide back two, three, four picks, because in their estimation, then there's not a huge difference between one and three or one and six or whatever in this year's draft. So I could see that as a real possibility for the Wolves. The second one I want to talk about here, this is more of a convoluted trade at the Knicks. Of course, everybody wants to get the Knicks the number one pick. So the Wolves would send the number one pick in James Johnson to the Knicks. They'd get back the number eight and the 27 from the Knicks. The 27 was originally the Clippers pick. They would also get two second rounders next year, Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox, Reggie Bullock. I don't like, this is a lot. This is a haul for the number one pick, but it's basically a poo-poo platter for the Wolves. I mean, Ntilikina, I mean, yeah, he could be the backup point guard, but is he better than Jordan McLaughlin? No. Reggie Bullock's a nice player. Kevin Knox, we talked about him last week. There's some upside there, but he's more of a throw-in type. So you're doing this for the picks, and then you're clogging up your roster with these guys who, were on a bad team last year. Do you really want them on your team now? you're sliding back from 1 to 8, you're picking up a 27. Do you really want 3 first round picks in this year's draft, 3 guaranteed salaries? I don't like this trade for the Wolves. I don't think Gerson Rosas would like this trade. I think he'd rather have a future pick, even if it is the Mavericks pick from the Knicks, versus 2 first rounders in this year's draft. And then 3 guys who, you know, you don't want those 3 guys on your team most likely. So, I don't like that trade offer. The other 3, though, they start to get a little bit better as we go through, a little more intriguing, bigger names involved. And a couple of these we haven't even discussed as possibilities on the show before. So I want to get into that here shortly. Before we do that, let's talk about the title sponsor of today's episode, our awesome friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It's brand new and improved. We talked about this several weeks ago on the podcast, and it's always been awesome, but it's now even more delicious. There's brand new packaging, brand new logo, brand new taste that's even more delicious than before. There were already 12 fantastic original flavors, nut and non-nut flavors. There's now 6 new flavors, including carrot cake, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, apple almond crisp, cookies and cream, and caramel brownie. I cannot wait to try caramel brownie as well as cookies and cream. And the bars are still all 100% covered in chocolate, and they're soft, easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat that, again, tastes just like a candy bar. They're all low calorie, they're all low sugar, high in protein and high in fiber. Perfect if you're on a keto diet. The flavor profile for the, I'm sure, delicious cookies and cream: 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams net carbs. Currently, while supplies last, you can get a free cooler with your purchase. This inventory is almost gone, is what we're told. While supplies last, a free cooler with purchase. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. If you've already ordered, this code will work for $10 off your next order, not just your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, let's talk about these last 3 proposed trade offers, fake trades, if you will, from Zach Buckley at Bleacher Report. One of them we've talked about a little bit as possibly a bigger trade with more pieces to it, and that's acquiring John Collins from the Hawks. This is one of my favorite possibilities because I actually really like the Collins and Towns fit, and I recognize that the Wolves mostly are trying to go smaller at the 4, play guys like Jake Lehman, allow for more positional flexibility and versatility, switchability at the 4. And John Collins isn't a great defender, but he's been a little bit better than Towns. He is switchable. He's athletic. He's got a big enough frame to you know, be effective in the paint with Towns. And I think that there's a way that they could make it work. At any rate, this proposed trade actually would include Jake Lehman in the number 1 pick going to Atlanta for John Collins and a top 7 protected 2022 first round pick, which, I mean, the Hawks are on the upswing. I think Trae Young, personally, I think he's a little overrated. You're trading Collins, so I don't know that the Hawks are actually going to be that good in 2 years, so it's probably an okay pick, but it's not going to, it's top 7 protected. It's probably not a lottery pick in 2 years. So you're getting Collins and a future first round pick. You're giving up the number 1 and Jake Lehman. I think that this is a good trade. I like some of the other possibilities where they're getting back the Hawks pick this year, maybe a little bit more. The Hawks don't want to extend him is the rumor that's out there. There was a report from The Athletic saying that they're hesitating about giving him, you know, major money on his extension, which he's going to get. I mean, it says here in the article, he's one of 7 guys to average 19-9 both the season and last year. He was a 2010 guy this year, and fitting him next to Towns, I think that works on both ends of the floor, especially offensively. And, I don't know. If I would rather get the 6 pick back this year rather than a pick down the road, I'd rather get Collins in the 6 and you give up the 1 and Lehman, and maybe they ask for Jarrett Culver as well. And the Wolves, the other iteration of this trade we talked about here was possibly getting back Kevin Huerter. If you swap Culver for Huerter, if that's something they would do, it would be an immediate upgrade for the Wolves. The upside for Huerter is significantly lower than Jarrett Culver, so that would be something the Hawks would initiate. And I think if I'm the Wolves, I still do the trade if you make that swap, because you add another shooter. And yes, there's less upside there, but if that's what gets the trade done, you do it. And swapping Culver for Huerter doesn't kill you. It makes you better today, and maybe not in 2 years, but today. So that one's fascinating to me. We have talked pretty extensively about John Collins, so I don't want to spend more time on that. The next one is the possibility of acquiring Victor Oladipo from the Pacers for the number 1 pick, Jarrett Culver, and then James Johnson to make the salary work. This is intriguing. The challenging thing is that Oladipo is going to be a free agent after the summer. So it would make the Wolves a playoff team this year with D'Angelo Russell, Carl Anthony Towns, and Victor Oladipo, and you're not losing any, you know, you're not losing any other rotation guys. I mean, you're still going to have Josh Okogie. You're still going to have Jake Lehman. You're still going to have, you know, anybody else that they choose to bring in free agency to shore themselves up on the wing. Losing Culver and Johnson out of the rotation isn't the end of the world. The question is, do you really give up the number one overall pick, even in a weak draft, for a guy that's going to leave in a year? Because it's fairly unlikely that the Wolves would be able to retain Oladipo in free agency. I mean, they would, I believe they would have his bird rights, so they could pay him more than anyone else. But I mean, he could easily leave in the offseason. Also, there's the injury issues. He's been fairly injury plagued. And so that would add another layer to this. I don't know that the Wolves would roll the dice on this particular gamble. I think they'd rather keep the pick and find something else out there. I think they'd rather have a guy. Oladipo is a better fit for the roster than John Collins, or a better fit for the roster than some of these other borderline stars. He's also overall a better all-around player, but positionally he's a perfect fit. So, I mean, there's a chance the Wolves could roll the dice and say, we'll try and extend this guy because we think he makes us a top four or five team in the West immediately. But I'd be surprised if this is the gamble that Rosas chooses to make with the number one pick. All right, this last one is perhaps the most intriguing. I also think I like it the most, except for maybe the Collins trade. This proposed deal would be with the Bulls. The Wolves would get back Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen and the number 44 pick in this year's draft via Memphis. So second round pick, what is that, like the 14th pick in the second round. The Bulls would get back Jarrett Culver, James Johnson, the number one and the number 17. So the Wolves would give up both their second round picks, both their first round picks, get back a second round pick. They would swap Jarrett Culver and James Johnson for LaVine and Markkanen. This is a nice trade because you immediately improve your perimeter shooting by giving up a below average shooter in Culver and an average shooter in Johnson for two above average shooters in LaVine and Markkanen. And you find a four that fits nicely with Karl-Anthony Towns and Markkanen. You get a two back in Zach LaVine, who's a little more dynamic than Malik Beasley, can score off the bounce more. It means you don't have to keep Beasley. You could let him go. I mean, you could still bring him back. The roster gets expensive quickly then. Markkanen's going to be doing an extension, and that would be the thing that's complicated here. LaVine already has his extension, so he's a little bit overpaid for what he is now, but there's still some upside there if he improves defensively and improves even more as a playmaker. So I think it's this trade is actually pretty attractive because I think it overall improves the Wolves roster. Again, defensively, you're giving up two guys who are at worst average defensively in Culver and Johnson and bringing back two minuses in LaVine and Markkanen. And that is the biggest question. So I don't know. It's attractive and it's exciting. And I know Wolves fans really like LaVine, and getting him back to Minnesota would be a lot of fun. I just don't know if this makes them if it even guarantees that they're a playoff team this year. In theory, it improves the roster significantly. The offense would be awesome, but there's enough defensive question marks that I think this is still a 6-7-8 seed versus a top five seed. Whereas if they acquired Oladipo, it might only be for a year, like with Jimmy Butler in some sense, although they'd have to give up Oladipo likely for nothing in free agency. They could be a top five seed if you have Oladipo alongside Towns and Russell. And so I think that angle on this is certainly attractive from a Wolves perspective. All that to say, we've still got at least 6 weeks and maybe longer if the draft gets pushed back, which has been rumored, to debate this number one pick. The Wolves likely are not going to move it until the week of the draft, if not draft night, simply because there's no reason to move the pick at this point. You might as well wait and see if other teams have suddenly have the desire, if they fall in love with the prospect and need to get to one, you might as well wait it out and see what kind of offers you can get. So none of this is happening tomorrow, but there are some options out there and there are some teams that might be willing to trade a star, a borderline star, somebody with upside still like John Collins, somebody who's a superstar now in Victor Oladipo. We've talked about Ben Simmons. It could be future draft capital. There's plenty of options out there, and we're going to have plenty of chances over the next few weeks to discuss these possibilities as well. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the podcast. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.